Hi everyone, welcome to the final score with the score. Chelsea 1, Crystal Palace 1 at Stamford Bridge. Final score, a game of two halves really, I think. Bit of a disappointing result. But Chelsea 1, Crystal Palace 1. Started off pretty good side, I thought, named today. The side we all expected. Pedro Neto on the left, Mudryka on the right. Palmer as the 10. Jackson up front with Enzo and Caicedo in midfield. And the same back four that we had in the last league game. Chelsea started well. First half, we were really in control. Passed the ball well. Controlled the game. Didn't give many chances away. And took the lead with a really good goal, really good counter-attack from Madueke and Palmer, and then Jackson finished it off 1-0. Had some more chances in the first half. Maybe could have been two up. Went into half-time 1-0 up, in control. Didn't look like any problems at all. Thought we'd come out second half and kill the game off, but it wasn't to be. Referee had an absolute stinker and should have sent Will Hughes off. Didn't do that. And I think that changed the game, changed the momentum of the game. We lost our heads a little bit. Palace got some confidence from that, came back into the game. Good strike from Eze to equalise. Probably gave him too much space, but it was still a great strike. Then they had a really good second half. We kind of lost our heads a little bit second half, didn't play as well. But then Enzo Maresca made some changes, brought some a lot of guys on. And we had, the last 15 minutes, we had a lot of good chances and should have won the game. Jackson should have scored. I mean, like, if you want evidence why we should have bought a striker, it's right there. If you have a proper striker there, we win the game. Absolutely. And Jackson missed a couple of good chances at the end. We had a lot of attacks near the end and probably could have won the game near the end. But 1-1's probably a fair result. Bit disappointing, but, you know, we're still learning this system. We're still growing as a team. You know, I think inexperience may have cost us today. If we'd had some calmer heads out there to just calm everyone down and keep control of the game, we might have played better second half and maybe won the game. But, Cole Palmer didn't have his best second half. They kept him out of the game pretty well. Nonny Madueke played really well again, especially in the first half. Brilliant run down the right for the goal. Could have scored a couple himself. He looked really, really good. His work ethic was good down that right-hand side. I thought he had a great game. Enzo Fernandez had a better game, better in the first half. I think our centre-backs actually played pretty well, even though we conceded a goal. I don't think that they played badly at all. Gusto got injured, of course. Hopefully that's not serious. Hopefully that's just cramp and not a hamstring. But he had to come off. Caicedo had to go to right back. Enzo really went for it in the second half. To be fair to him, brought on a lot of attackers, and you know, it nearly worked. But 1-1 it is, and that's the last game before the international break. So, welcome Rambles and Redford. Good to have you up here again. Red, what are your thoughts on the game?
I really think the performance is almost kind of the opposite of the shift we had at Wolves. I feel like we started really well. And even though we weren't necessarily taking the chances, I think Henderson made some great saves, definitely with Nonny respectively. But the second half, it just all fell apart. I feel like we were really confident. I saw a lot of the space, extremely confident going into half time. And then, the Eze goal, just momentum shift, it took a lot of our sails. But the main real takeaway that I want to take from this is I'm just hoping that the Gusto injury isn't serious, because as well as Caicedo did a shift when we went more attacking, the fact that we can have two right backs, which could potentially be injury prone, it's not looking very good, is it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say injury, but I mean, isn't it the first injury that he's had at Chelsea, or one of the first?
I think he's had a couple, but obviously they haven't been very serious now.
Reece James could be back after the international break, of course. That's the other thing. And his suspension is now over, so if he's fit, he's available to play.
But one thing I really wanted to show is I've just shared it to the space, but XGFC again, 2.5 XG to 0.3 XG.
That's incredible. Look at that. I mean, it's true. We could have been 2 or 3 up at half time. We could have scored a couple of goals in injury time as well. When we piled forward. And it was a risk, but, you know, they didn't get any counter-attacks. They didn't actually have many attacks on transitions today.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons for that was that Closelo was dropped in a little bit deeper in the first, especially in the first half. He was playing almost with the centre-backs. And that actually helped us defensively, I think. That was clearly a tactical decision. And I think it worked because we didn't look as bad on transitions today. You know, the goal wasn't on a transition. It was just, it was like a 20-yard strike. You know, we should have closed down, but it's still a great strike. I mean, you know, it's not a guaranteed goal from there by any means. And Eze's a great player. We all know that. So you can't give him that kind of space. And we shouldn't have done. But, go on.
I was just going to say, on the lines of transition, I guess a few other silver lines we could take is, it was a little bit frustrating with the finish sometimes, but João Félix looked really good, like we're winning the ball fast and turning against the defenders.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He's got that ability to do that, and he's got the ability to get away from defenders really quickly. He had a decent chance as well, which he kind of made for himself. And he's much better centrally. I don't think Felix should be playing on the wing.
100%.
Especially now you've got Jadon Sancho. I think, like, you know, we don't, I think, you know, he can be a central player, Felix. I think that's where he's best. But, and then Kunku came on, and when he moved to the centre, we had that counter attack, a really good counter attack, which Jackson should have at least hit the target, you know. Dean Henderson did have a good game, I've got to say. It's just that tradition of goalkeepers playing like prime Peter Cech as soon as they turn up at Stamford Bridge. He made some really good saves, Dean Henderson, I've got to say. On another day, one of those goes in, simple as that, and we've won the game 2-1. But it wasn't to be. Rambles, welcome. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, game of two halves. Really good first half, really disappointing second half. And we seem to save us a lot, but we paid the price for not taking our chances. And this makes the transfer window even more disappointing. Why, you know, we didn't get a more proven striker in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I hate saying that. I like Jackson. Right, I like Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah, I love Jackson. I think he is.
And he's, you know, and he's scored 2 in 2 games, to be fair to him. But yeah, I think a world-class finish. Like Erling Haaland finishes at least one of those chances at the end, right? He does. And then you've won the game. And nobody's worried about how you played. It's as simple as that. And it's just, it is negligence not to assign the striker in for the last 4 windows. It is. And that's, you know, that's as simple as that. And
I really think now the club really need to look at, you know, I like pretty much 90% of what they're doing, and I agree with what they're trying to do. I can see the direction they're trying to go in and all that stuff I like, but they need to now sit down and say, right, what do we need to get us to where we want to be? And, you know, we need to make those adjustments. We need to be more flexible with our wage structure for one or two players to help us get to that next level. Because, you know, that's what's holding us back. If we got, let's say, if we'd got Osimhen in, I think everyone would be pretty united. He would have pretty much guaranteed us top 4 because he is that proven striker we don't have.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's right. We do need someone else. Even if it's just competition for Jackson, because Gouye is not a, you know, I like him and he's got a good work ethic and everything, but I don't think he's ready.
And also, I think it's a bit unfair on Gouye because, you know, we're putting him in a difficult position.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And they've got to address it in January, you know, simple as that. They need to be looking at it in January. Can't wait. You know, we might be banned next summer, so we've got to sort that out. Well, yeah, 100%. So we're going to get guys up to talk about this game. But just some player, who stood out for you, especially in that first half? What player, I mean, Red, what player stood out for you in that first half, especially?
Yeah, if we're talking about the first half, I don't think you can look much further than Noni Madueke with his chances and his attacking runs. He looked quite aggressive and he seemed to have carried on his confidence from Wolves. Yeah, he really caught my eye, but I guess you could say for another reason, a player that caught my eye was Enzo, because his passing was just so confusing to me today, because he seemed to, there was a few crosses especially which were pinpointed that looked really good, and then the amount of times that he just seemed to put way too much power on his passes, and obviously sometimes the players just dealt with it, and I understand you've got to put power in passes to get to your target, but it seemed like it was almost an effort for his teammates to control the passes from time to time.
Yeah, I thought Noni was fantastic in that first half. I thought Caicedo was as well, and Levi's passing again was very, very good from the back. I don't think the centre backs had bad games, honestly. The goal we conceded wasn't because of the centre backs, you know, we gave Jose too much space. Simple as that. I thought Fofana had a good game. I thought Levi had a pretty good game.
That's the frustrating thing, though. I don't think many people had a bad game. It was just disappointing in the second half. Maybe I don't really know what was our downfall, to be honest. It's just we had so many chances in that first half and we didn't take them.
Yeah, same old story, right?
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a broken record.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all are. We're kind of tired of this record. So again, Crystal Palace, again, Chelsea didn't concede many shots on target in this game. 3 shots on target, Crystal Palace had, in the entire game. We're only conceding about 2 or 3 shots on target a game at the moment. In every game, we're averaging about 4 shots on target conceded in every game, which is less than last season. But they're being more, opposition are being clinical and we're not, you know. We had 7 shots on target today and we scored 1, you know. That's not good enough. You need to be more clinical than that. You have to take at least 2 of those, you know. That's just the story of Chelsea at the moment. And we, until we get a decent striker, like a proven striker, it's not going to change. We have to sort that out. And you know, Palmer didn't have a good game today. I mean, he's kind of a due one, I suppose. But everyone's looking at him now. Everyone's trying to mark him out of the game. And he struggled today. When he doesn't kind of turn it on and he can't play his game, we're not as good. He was pretty good in the first half, got an assist for the goal. But, you know, we need him to be scoring goals. We need him to, you know, back like he was last season. Hopefully he can. But when we looked good, we looked really good, I thought. It's just we need to do that over 90 minutes, not just 45 minutes. We did it for 45 minutes last week. And one, you know, got scored 4 goals. We did it 45 minutes today and got 1 goal. You know, we need to do it over 90 minutes. And that's what Enzo will be trying to drill into the players.
It's another lesson for the boys. So it's another 90 minutes to help them gel. And we haven't got exactly many easy fixtures coming up. Bournemouth away is always a fixture that's haunted us. And then there's the cup game, which should be rotation, so that should be fine. But West Ham, we've slipped up there recently. Brighton, not an easy game. You see what they did to Arsenal. And then it's just the European games and Forest. But yeah, this international break, I think, will be massive because he seems to have found, a much smaller group of players who he can trust and who he starts. But, it'll be interesting to see if he tinkers anything over the international break.
Yeah, because we had an interview with Mark Albrighton from Leicester, who said that like last year during the international break, he you know, did some work on tactical stuff, you know, and changed things up a bit and worked on some things with the players that were around. I mean, you won't have that many players around the next couple of weeks, but there'll be some players around, you know, Reece James, Jadon Sancho, and a few others will be around, who we can work with. And, you know, I think Jadon Sancho might well start the next game purely because he'll be fresh, you know. Yeah. And other players will be on international duty. So, we'll come back with a win next time. We seem to be better away from home than we are at home. All that Wolves performance was incredible, right? And, you know,
maybe it's to do with the pressure. Maybe when we're not at home, we don't exactly feel it as much.
Yeah, the atmosphere isn't as great as Stamford Bridge as it used to be honest.
Either. Yeah, Caicedo commented on the atmosphere last year. He said he preferred playing away from home.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. You know, when your own players are saying they prefer playing away from home, that's not a good reflection on the fans or on, you know, the home fans. You know, players should be confident playing at home. They should enjoy playing at home. They should be relaxed playing at home. You know, they shouldn't be more wanting to play away than at home. You know, and that's just, yeah. But I thought, again, Caicedo, I thought he was excellent generally today. Especially in that midfield role where he sat deeper and he won a lot of tackles, and his passing out from that deep position, I thought, was really, really good.
I just was going to quickly say I've got a bit of nitpicking from the performance as well. We obviously picked up 4 yellow cards, and last season we saw Jackson especially pick up a lot of silly ones. Now, yeah, we saw his was for Cole Palmer for kicking the ball away as well. I didn't know if you guys had any comment about it, because it just seems to be quite irritating that we're
I mean, the second half of last season he didn't get any yellow cards. He kind of went on a long run without getting any yellow cards in that second half of last season. But yeah, I mean, yeah, he does get silly yellow cards. There's no doubt about that.
I've said for ages, you know, this yellow card malarkey is something we really need to nip in the bud. And whoever's the manager, they've just got to get control of the situation. Because, you know, you're just putting yourself in unnecessary danger. Because just like one silly thing, you know, you're sent off, you're down to 10 men.
I will say, though, today the referee was abysmal. I mean, Will Hughes should have been sent off. That's not even a debate. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, there's another Palace player who committed 3 fouls. Kamada committed 3 bookable offences in the first 20 minutes and didn't get booked for any of them. And, you know, they didn't get many. I mean, they only had 2 players booked. We had, 4 players booked? You know, and some of the bookings that we got were for ridiculous things. Like, and they did a lot of worse things that didn't get booked. So it was just, the referee was abysmal today. Didn't do us any favours at all. In the first half, he was their best player. you know, so yeah, it's that was frustrating for sure. Yeah. Right. So. I wanted to see how people thought that Pedro Neto did today. It was his first start. Playing on the left when he's normally playing on the right, but he can't play on the right at the moment because Nonny Madueke is playing so well. He got taken off, but I thought he struggled today a little bit. Like, how did you feel, Red?
I don't think he was as aggressive as he has been in previous performances. I feel like he was quite conservative and he was almost getting trapped quite a lot. But like you said, he's not playing in his preferred role just simply because Nonny's playing quite well. And I feel like maybe it just might have been a tactical thing where he just couldn't exactly get the better of him. But it wasn't his best performance. But I guess I wouldn't exactly nitpick too much of bad things about him.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I'm a fan of Neto. I think he's an excellent player. He struggled today, but definitely a good player. And, you know, the attacking options that we have, I mean, you know, we've got Christopher Nkunku, Yao Felix, and now Jadon Sancho as well, like, who can all come in. It's kind of becoming an embarrassment of riches behind the striker. You know, the problem is we don't have any alternatives at striker. Although I'm absolutely certain at some point he'll play Christopher Nkunku as a false nine. I think he will do that.
He impressed me when he came on, actually.
Yeah, I thought he was
great. He was very lively in Kunku.
Yeah, and he started on the right wing, which was bizarre. But then he moved into the centre and, like, you know, he was brilliant. Like, he made some really good runs, got a good pass in behind for Jackson, which we probably could have scored from. Like, yeah, he looked dangerous. When he's in that role centrally, I think he's dangerous, and you can run at defenders and scare them. You know, I mean, I think, yeah, it's difficult to fit all these players in, you know, because Palmer would want to play centrally as well. So, like, you know, I mean, how do you fit them all in? That's the conundrum that you have. Like, I mean, would Infantry be in your first choice 11?
Rambles, what do you think, man?
Yeah, well, funny enough, I was having this conversation before, and I don't know why, but I think the strongest front four could possibly be Neto on the right, Sancho on the left, Palmer central, and Jackson through the middle. I don't know why, I'm just really excited about the Sancho signing, and I think he could really develop into one of our best players.
I'm a big fan of Jadon Sancho. Again, he's another player that can run at defenders. With skill, he can beat defenders. He's creative as well. You know, he can get balls into the area. I think he's an excellent player who was wasted at Manchester United. Just was not used properly and mismanaged completely. I saw him at Dortmund in the Champions League last season. He was excellent. And that wasn't the Bundesliga, it was the Champions League. So
I think sometimes players just need to find the right home. And Manchester United and Ten Hag just wasn't...
I never felt Man United was the right club for him, actually. I always thought we were the right club for him. I thought we should have signed. I mean, Frank Lampard wanted to sign him, I think, over Kai Havertz.
He did. And I think he's going to be a big factor for him being back in London. He'll be closer to his family and his friends. So yeah, he should be happier on and off the pitch.
Yeah, and he's playing for a club he supports as well, which is another thing. Like, you can't manufacture that. And also, he's Joe Shields recommended, which is another good sign. He, you know, Joe Shields signed Cole Palmer, Rene Lavia, you know, like, he signed Jadon Sancho for Manchester City as a kid. Like, he clearly rates him. And I think he probably pushed for him this time. So if he has the same impact that Cole Palmer had, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? So, and that would solve that left wing problem as well, because I think he can play there. I mean, he can play right wing or left wing. You know, he's a quality player. But at the moment, we play him on the left because Nonny's doing so well on the right. I think he's got a... Nonny Madueke, I think he deserves his flowers. He's been brilliant this season. Like, not just going forward, but defensively as well. He pressed really well today. He tracked back and won the ball and won some tackles. There was one counter-attack that Palace had, and he was right there in the penalty area, winning the tackle and passing it back to the keeper. Just some thoughts on Nonny, Rambles. You there, Rambles?
Yeah, I'm a really big Nonny fan, and he seems to be getting better week by week. His confidence seems to be growing. I think he does need to improve his finishing a little bit, and then he can start getting into like the 12, 15 goals a season. But all in all, I think he's so much better than he was last season.
Yeah, 100%. He's definitely an example of what can happen when you're patient with a player.
I think that's the thing with fans. You know, we often expect a player to come in, especially when they're coming from a new country, and you expect them to produce straight away, but you don't realise it takes time to not just settle on the pitch, but settle off the pitch and get into a settled home environment.
And yeah, fair play to him as well. He's had some tough words from managers at times, but he's taken them on board. You know, and he's learned, he's improved, and
he seems to have a really good work ethic. I think I saw videos this summer where, you know, he was training with like an actual one-on-one training with a coach, so he seems desperate to improve his game.
Yeah, I think he's really worked hard on improving himself. You know, he knows his competition for places at Chelsea, and he wants to make that position his own. So, you know, if he keeps up, I mean, he gets in our first choice 11 right now. He's got that right wing spot, you know, nailed down. So, that's like three of our attackers nailed down, really, because Palmer is always going to start. Nonny's going to start. Jackson's probably going to start most games. So you've got one position at the moment, which is the left wing, which is not taken yet, not established yet. And you've got Pedro Neto, Jadon Sancho and Felix, who are all going to compete for that spot. And that's good. You want to have competition for places because that pushes the level up of everyone because they want to start. And so they want to get into the, that's why strength and depth is good, because you have players competing for places and that means that they've got to raise their level to get into the team. And they've got to perform when they get into the team to keep their spot. So, I don't think anyone's getting past Palmer at the moment. And, you know, Jackson's our only striker, which is unfortunate. But Nonny Madueke's been fantastic. I'm sure you'd agree, Red.
Yeah, I 100% would say that this new season, it's a Nonny Madueke reborn, I guess you could say. He's brought the talent, and it's just nice to say that I'm quoting someone I saw on Twitter earlier, which essentially said, there's nothing more dangerous than a player with something to prove. And exactly what you said, he hasn't had the nicest of comments or he hasn't had the best feedback from previous managers and previous game weeks, but he's taken it right on the chin and he's proven to us why he is Chelsea material. And I think that, yeah, there's no doubt that 100% he'll still be in the starting lineup when we get back from the international break. And regardless, he's deserved the international call-up as well.
Yeah, he absolutely has. Yeah, 100%. I was pleasantly surprised when he was called up, because I wasn't expecting him to be called up just because that doesn't normally happen. But, you know, fair play to Lee Crosley.
I think we also forget how young Nonny is. He's only 21, isn't he? 22?
Yeah, 20. I think, yeah, 21, 22, something like that. Yeah, that's right. He's quite young. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to get better. That's the thing with him. That's why I'm like so, you know, it's so exciting, you know, to see him develop, because he's just going to get better and better, right? And I'll just check how old he is, actually, just to confirm.
Whilst you're checking that as well, though, Mudrick came on, had a few minutes. Are we going to have a nice chat about him? Because I think he did a shift today.
Who, Mudrick?
Yeah.
He created a chance, didn't he? Like, for Jackson. He put a shift in. Like,
it was definitely one of his more positive performances today.
Yeah, because when he came on, we started attacking and we started creating chances again. The last 15 minutes of the game, we looked dangerous again. I mean, when our attack is on it and they get their heads together, we look dangerous. That's the frustrating thing, is that we can't put it together for 90 minutes. I'm not worried about our attacking play necessarily. I mean, I'm worried about up front in number 9 position, but I'm not worried about our ability to create chances when we're on it. But the problem is we're not always on it. We kind of we lost our heads a little bit in the second half. Nonny Madueke, by the way, confirmed, 22 years old. He was 22 in March, so he's just turned 22 6 months ago. So, really good prospect. Like, that looks a really smart signing now. £34 million, I think we paid for him. Looks a snip, honestly. And you've got to give credit to the sporting directors when they get it right, and they did get it right with him, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely say that. I feel like, at the start, I feel like I think I speak for everyone when people were skeptical with the signing, weren't they?
Yeah, I think some people were. I mean, I hadn't seen much of him, you know, and I just listened to people that had seen him, and they all said he was a really big talent, and hadn't fulfilled his potential yet. I had an open mind on Nonny Madueke, but he always impressed me with his work ethic, even in the first season. Like, he looked like he was trying. You know, even though he wasn't always working for him, he kept trying. And he showed up. You know, that game against Manchester United, I think we lost 4-1. He was our best player. Like, he scored a goal. He actually put a shift in when most of the other players didn't put any shift in at all. So
he had a horrendous injury record at PSV, but since he's come to Chelsea, he's a player who's gone the other way. He doesn't seem to be injured at all.
Yeah, that's, yeah. And that's, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he's not really been injured for Chelsea, has he? He might have missed a few games, but here and there. But he's not had a period out, has he, at all at Chelsea? So, yeah, that's a positive. He's definitely a positive of this season for sure. Like he's definitely stepped up, and hopefully he can continue that because he can get a few more goals because. You know, I love watching players like Nani Madueke. I really do. I love it when he runs at defenders and he's beating defenders and he's going down that right wing. He looks a threat every time and he gets the crowd off their feet and the crowd love players like Nani Madueke because he does that and he can produce something out of nothing and he can score, he can create like, you know, and he works really hard and Chelsea fans love that. So, you know, I think this is going to be a big season for him.
What kind of impressed me though, just going back a few minutes, sorry, is obviously what you said about Caicedo dropped into right back. It's great to see that even though obviously we didn't have a right back on the bench, it's nice to see we've got players who can be versatile in multiple positions, a bit like what Nani can and pretty much all of our attackers can.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the whole point of the kind of, knife thing that they want to do.
Swiss Army knife, they want, don't they?
Swiss Army knife, that's it. They want the Swiss Army knife players. Well, Caicedo played right back for Brighton under De Zerbi for quite a few. He started some games at right back and played pretty well. So he can definitely play that role. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's obviously not what we prefer him to play in midfield, but yeah, I thought he came in and he was okay there. Like, you know, kind of plugged that side. They didn't really have many attacks down that side. It was on the other side, really. They had more attacks, you know. But yeah, absolutely. Like, and I mean, Caicedo gets a lot of criticism. I'm a fan of his, and I thought he played well today.
Actually, he's a litmus
yes. Speaking of midfielders, Enzo Fernandez today. First half, I thought he played well. And again, like when he's sitting deeper and he's playing deeper, he can get those balls in behind. And he got a couple of balls in behind in the first half, which I thought were really good. Like one of them probably could have been a goal. One of them could have been a goal for Nani. It was like this brilliant ball into the area and it just created problems immediately. And Nani had a shot on target. And Henderson made a great save. Probably should have been a goal. What do you think of Enzo today, Red?
Yeah, I touched on him a little bit previously. His passing, the actual power behind it was worrying me a little bit, but it was nice to see that he was an ever-present in the squad. He was really leading the side. I saw him go up to the ref a few times and calm down a few nerves. And to me, yes, he gets his criticism because of a few things he may do wrong, but he's really started to gel into the player that we bought. Now, when you buy a player with such a high price tag, it's really hard to say that he's been worth the price tag just because it's so inflated now and the way fans look at it. But I really think he's been a great purchase for Chelsea and he's going to be a massive spine in this next generation.
Yeah, I do. And I think he's got leadership qualities. I do. I mean, I think I said a year ago that you know, he would be a captaincy contender if he could speak English. You know, but you saw that today. He was up there. He was out there. Organising, he was out there talking to the ref, trying to calm things down, you know. And he probably does have a bit more experience than a lot of the players. And he played at a very high level. He's played in World Cup final. He's played alongside some great players. So, yeah, he does have those qualities, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. And I'm a fan of his. I think he's brilliant. I think once he finds his groove, he's going to be really, really dangerous and really difficult to play in. And I think he should be playing deeper. And I think that's his best position. I know he wants to play further forward, but that's not his best position. And it'd be good to have Lavia back as well. Hopefully we get Lavia back after the international break. Because I always feel like we've got more control in the game when he's in the team. Because he can hold possession and keep the ball really well. So it'd be good to have him back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with what Red was saying. You know, it's difficult when a player comes in for so much money. I think they're always scrutinised slightly differently to someone who comes in for a lot less because people always expect so much more of you because you cost 100 plus million.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of which, there's some news that's just broken. Chelsea are in discussions with Al Nassr to sell them Angelo Gabriel.
Oh.
So, Yeah, I don't know what about that. I'm surprised at that, actually, to be honest. I thought that didn't think we would sell him, but
has a fee been mentioned?
I don't believe so. I'll keep scout for myself, but score, do you know?
These things are going quiet.
Anyway, just to fill the gap, I'll share this to the space because I think this is just brilliant. It's just welcome to Chelsea, Enzo, just showing the frustration of Chelsea's XG misses so far this season. And if I'm really going with it, overall performance, first half, I was really happy with it. I was excited. It seems like it was fast flowing football. And went exactly the way we wanted. And then second half, I guess we just flicked a switch and it wasn't exactly leading to the result we wanted. That's why I ended in a draw. But at the end of the day, even though I'm frustrated that we didn't keep another clean sheet, when you're conceding shots like that, I don't expect him to make the save. And do you think, other than that, Rambles, do you think obviously Sanchez showed himself in a good light?
I don't think he's made a terrible start to the season, Sanchez. He has made some very good saves. I'm still not overly confident with him. I would still hedge my bets on Jorgensen being the number one before too long. But as I said, I don't think he hasn't really made many glaring mistakes, Sanchez, do you think, so far?
No, I wouldn't say so, but it's obviously not a mistake. It ended up looking like a decent save, but do you remember, if I mention it, that the shot by, I believe it was Camardo, where he almost palmed it over the bar?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I know he's hit that with power, but I think he's gone to catch that and it's just messed up a little bit and I got so nervous.
He's a keeper which doesn't fill you with a lot of confidence.
No.
You just always feel like there's a rick coming, like a stupid pass where he's going to... And to be honest, we've had that with keepers for a number of years. Now, we obviously had it with Kepa. We had it towards the latter period of Mendy in goal. It seems like it's been a long time since you've had a goalkeeper where we're all 100% confident in.
Yeah. When you want to reach those top levels, you need to have confidence in your goalkeeper. The last time we had somewhat confidence was with Mendy, and we know what that happened, even if it was for a brief period.
Right, so I don't know what happened. It just threw me out when I was just. I don't know.
That's completely fine. We tried to obviously keep it going for you.
You did. I've got a quote from Enzo Maresca from the press conference. We completely deserve to win the game. We controlled the game. Overall, we completely deserve to win the game. Unfortunately, we didn't. The performance was very good on and off the ball, but after we conceded the goal, we lost our way, which is probably. And then, I respect him for saying this. It probably was a second yellow card. They would have gone to 10 men, and the game would have changed. But the referee saw it another way. Yeah, which is about right, you know, because it was a. I think that was a second yellow card comfortably. And what did you think of that decision, Red? What did you? I thought it was an awful decision.
It's really one of those to me which you see given, you see obviously in this case. And I guess if it was his first challenge, I probably wouldn't have given it a yellow. But the fact that he was on a yellow and already had that warning in the first half, he's got to go.
Yeah, exactly. That's my view on it. I think he should have gone. I think the Chelsea players got rattled by the fact that he wasn't sent off. And annoyed, and it wound them up a bit, and they lost their heads. I think if he got sent off at that point, I don't think they get the equaliser. But basically, I think we probably go on and win the game comfortably. But it is what it is, you know. That was a bad decision. The referee had a bad day, I think, generally, and that was the referee that sent off Malo Gusto a while back when he shouldn't have been sent off as well. So, yeah, the standard of refereeing in the Premier League is just not good at all. I'll be honest about that. Like, you know, it's not even just about corruption and stuff. It's basically that the standard is not high in the Premier League and it needs to be better.
It's extremely painful to see. Did you think there was anything more in it on the Gusto injury, obviously the challenge on him where he trotted on his foot. I didn't know if you think there was any.
I don't know. It looked like he, I mean, to me, it looked like, for a minute, it looked like he pulled his hamstring. And then, like, when he was on the ground, it looked like they were treating it as cramp, you know, because they were holding his leg up and he was pushing against it like you would when you get cramp. So I don't know what's happened with him. We're going to wait to hear from Maresca on that. Like, I'm keeping an eye on the press conference. He says that he has faith in Jackson and that he trusts him and that he's doing fantastic with it. He's confirmed as well that Jackson will sign a new contract. So, here we go. On Gusto, he said it looks like a muscle problem.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Just perfect. You know.
wait, at least this means when Reece James come back in, we've just got the injury rotation going. That's
that right back position is really genuinely cursed. I swear to God, like, you know, unbelievable.
Well, is it Josh Achimpong? He can play right back, can't he?
Yes. That's a good point. And he was in the squad the other day. Like, he's been with the squad this season. So I wouldn't be, you know, I'd love it. If he played against Bournemouth, that'd be fantastic. You know, I think he's a good player. I think he's good enough to start a few games for us. Not start every week, but start a few games. You know, and hopefully he gets to play in the Conference League. I mean, some of those, by the way, as a side, some of the opposition teams in the Conference League, man, like the names of some of these teams. Noah is one of them. obviously Shamrock Rovers, that'd be an interesting one.
It was great. Like, before the draw happened, I said to my mate, I was like, remove the badges, or even Adam if you want. Please try and name me more than a quarter of these teams, half of these teams.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we should be walking that group. We should be winning every game. You know, it's not a, you know, we could play, I mean, we should be able to play our under-21s against those teams, to be perfectly frank. You know,
the only one negative about that competition, some of those pitches we'll be playing on not even Sunday League standard.
Well, I would literally be playing Achim Pong and Tyrone George in some of those games, you know, starting them, because, you know, you don't want to risk players, you know, in those games. You don't want to be getting first team players. You know, that's why they want a deep squad, right? Because we've got so many fixtures. You know, if we get to the final of the Europa League, it'll be what? That's what? I don't know how many games we have to play. Is it 13, 14?
I believe it's around that number.
Yeah, so on top of the league fixtures, and then you've got cup games, you know, you're getting onto 60, 70 fixtures. And then you've got the Club World Cup in June, which is straight after the season, which is another, you know, 3, 4, 5 fixtures probably. Like, although we'll have Estevao, William and Kendry Pyers available for those.
I think it'll be a good competition to get the likes of Mark Wee, Madrick, possibly Jadon Sancho to get them into the team and try and build up their confidence.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah. I mean, it's a perfect competition for Madrick. It really is. Because the standard of the opposition is not high, and it's the kind of games that he could thrive in, you know, and like you say, play Sancho on the right or whatever. I mean, we've got so many options in attack. It's unbelievable, really. I've never seen us have this many options in attack. You know, I mean, like, I think the other day I forgot that, I think last week against Wolves, I forgot that we had Christopher Nkunku. You know, and this is before we signed Sancho. because we were winning like 5 or 6-0. I just like, oh, Nkunku, yeah, I forgot about him. And he's a really good player himself. So, we just need to score the goals though. That's the thing. It's not even creating chances. It's scoring the goals, as ever with Chelsea. Okay. So, just another look at the lineup. Yeah. Our centre backs today. How do you think our centre backs did? Because I thought they had a good game. I don't think they were at fault for the goal. I don't think they gave much away. And their passing was pretty good as well. Red, what was your thought on the centre-backs today?
I'd say they're arguably, well, not arguably, I'd say they are our best centre-back partnership. But maybe after the international break, I'd like to potentially see if Tosin can get in, because I really like his play on the ball. But that would most likely be for Fofana, because, yeah, Colwill starts week in, week out, no matter what happens for me.
100%. I think Levi's our best centre back actually. When he's on form, and he's going to get better. He's starting to look good this season. He's got better every game.
He's
passing out from the back is incredible. Like,
yeah, and his leadership is excellent at the current moment, because why? Like, defending wise, he's nowhere near it as it is. But that he's doing the passes that you'd see like a few years ago Van Dijk do, where he just spreads the whole ball and the attack starts just from that. And
yeah, Liverpool wanted him to replace Van Dijk, and there's a reason for that. That's exactly the reason. He's only what, 21 still,
I believe.
You know, he's gonna get better. Like, John Terry wasn't a world-class centre back at 21. He was good and he was promising, but he wasn't like what he became. So, you know, I think Levi Colwill's got a very high trajectory. He's going to keep getting better. And he looked authoritative at the back, I thought. He's got leadership qualities. I mean, Evan Murphy has actually mentioned that as well. And he's already captain Chelsea. So, he's wearing that number 6 shirt well.
Murphy mentioned about a leadership group, and I think Colwill was going to be added to that.
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Reece James in terms of how many games he's going to play. So, Endo Fernandez and Levi Colwill, you know, they're two people that are going to be involved in leadership at Chelsea going forward a lot, I think. And then hopefully Reece James gets fit again, because we all want to see Reece James back because he's so good. And we almost forget how good he is because we don't see him play very often. but we all saw his quality when he came on, when he played against Nottingham Forest last season and got that brilliant cross for the Nicholas Jackson goal. That was fantastic. We need that back, you know, and hopefully he's fit for the next game and he's another guy that creates chances, you know, and gets good crosses into the box, and, you know, him behind Nonny, you know, that's a pretty good combination.
Regardless of what happens to Reece James at the minute, though, score, he's definitely not going to be the biggest right back in the news, because I don't know if you've seen, but Trent scored against United, went and kissed the camera like Gerrard, and it's been disallowed for offside.
Brilliant. All right, I've got Vince here, who's a regular speaker here. I'm bringing him up. I'm going to get his thoughts on the game. Vince, welcome back. Good to have you back. What are your thoughts on the game?
You know, obviously disappointing, because, you know, you want to get 3 points against a team that you expect to finish, you know, between 12th and 15th, somewhere about there in the table. But I thought our attacking play was, you know, was really, really promising for a lot of the game. I do start to question a little bit, even though he's, a brand new signing. Pedro Neto, like, his end product, I just feel like it's a lot of crosses. And when we're not attacking those, I feel like, you know, we're wasting some opportunities. But overall, I thought he had a decent game. Palmer had a phenomenal first half. Second half, towards the end, I thought him both and Madueke both faded a little bit. Jackson, you know, it's disappointing, because I feel like, you know, his, final finishing ability, you know, is just sometimes frustrating. But he's making a lot of good runs in behind, and I think he has gotten a little bit better since last season. Robert Sanchez continues to scare me every single game. The ball, you know, slipped right through, his hands on that Kamada shot. And, like, he was lucky that didn't slip through his hands and in for a goal. Cucurella, game after game, is just consistent. I mean, he barely puts a foot in wrong through the whole game. And, again, I made this point after the last game. I just don't think Caicedo and Enzo are, you know, partnership that makes a lot of sense together. I thought Enzo was poor for most of the game, if we're being completely honest. Gave the ball away over and over again. And, yeah, those are my main takeaways.
Yeah, it is frustrating for sure. 100% it's very frustrating to not get the win. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who complain about that Caicedo-Enzo partnership. I mean, yeah, I thought Enzo was good, decent in the was good in the first half today. I think a lot of players played badly in the second half. But, yeah, I mean, I do think we miss Romeo Lavia. Like, I think when he's on the pitch, we have a bit more control. Because he's really good at retaining possession, good at winning back possession. Like, his positional sense is really good. And he kind of calms everything down. So I think, yeah, you've got to have one of, you've got to have Lavia on the pitch. And somebody will then have to come off. But that's a good problem to have. And I'd rather have good problems than bad problems.
So, I also think the referee was like really quick to give us a yellow card on pretty much like these small fouls. Like Fofana got a yellow card after his first foul. Pedro Neto, yellow card after his first foul. And Kamada was fouling someone every few minutes and he didn't get booked. So I don't think it really affected the game. And I'm not using that as an excuse, but certainly didn't help.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah. And the referee was awful. I thought we said this already today, but yeah, 100%. Like, hopefully Lavia's back. Because we might have a few players back who are fresh after the international break. So Lavia might be back. Reece James, obviously Sancho will be available. He's not on international duty. You know, some of those players could all start. You know, you could get them all in the team, get a bit of freshness, after the international break. So we don't, do our normal post-international break thing and, you know, collapse. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Vince, as always. What are your thoughts on Vince's points, Red?
I was just about to quickly give him a massive shout-out for the mention of Lavia, because, granted, you know, he's had that slight injury again, but I really believe he's the one player that can open Chelsea into a new level. He's the way he played against Man City, especially, granted, it didn't go our way, but he just seemed to be the perfect player to open play and actually even kick us into gear, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think he's exceptional. I really do. Like, Joe Shields apparently rates him as high in his position as Cole Palmer is as good in his position. So, and I trust Joe Shields. And he was so good. I thought he was great against Manchester City. And I thought we lost control against Manchester City once he went off.
Yes.
I think that was... I don't think they get the second goal if Lavia is on the pitch, for example. I think he just gives us a bit of control that otherwise we wouldn't have.
I think if I'm Maresca, though, I don't think, unless it depends, obviously, on the injuries of other players, I wouldn't bring James or Lavia, if they are fit, back in for, I think it's Bournemouth first. I'd definitely introduce them for Barrow in the Cup. Like, granted, they're a very high-level player, but I just don't think I'd want the hecticness to cause, another injury, I suppose.
Yeah, 100. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a fair point. Bring them off the bench in the league, yeah, maybe, and then play them against Barrow. I mean, Barrow, like, you know.
Because really, we should get that game done and dusted in half an hour if we've got
any. We should be 3 or 4-0 up in half an hour in that game. There's no at home. There's no excuse. Like, you know, if we struggle against them, that's just flipping unacceptable. You know, And it'll be a good day out for Barrow fans, even if they lose. They don't care about winning. They know they're probably not going to win. But it's a good day out for them.
They started the league well, in all fairness, but still.
Yeah, but what league are they actually?
Yeah, right. We don't talk about that, do we? it's their third place.
I don't even know what league they're in, actually. What is it, League One or is it non-league? I can't even
know. No, they're third place in League Two.
League Two. Oh, League Two, right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's all right. They're third place in League Two. Oh, not bad. So near Wrexham. Wrexham in League One now, aren't they?
They're the same division as my local Cheltenham. But yeah, they're near the top and we're near the bottom, so it doesn't help.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be all right in that game. But again, that's a perfect game for Sancho to make his debut, isn't it? Like,
that's amazing. Just give him the freedom.
I'm excited about Sancho. I'm not going to lie. I know we probably don't need him, but he's been one of my favourite players. I just think he's been wasted at Man United and he needs to be at the right club. And I think when he's at the right club, he's going to do really well.
No, but
the Red, are you a Tilton fan as well, are you?
So I got, because I couldn't exactly get my hands on a season ticket with Chelsea, I got a season ticket with Cheltenham So whenever I'm not in London, I try and go to every home game or away game.
Oh, because I'm a Carlisle United fan as well.
Oh, we're both struggling. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, regardless of that, Chelsea should be absolutely steamrolling aside in this division, because you'll know firsthand how poor that division is.
Yeah, we should be getting 3-4-5 against Barrow at home.
It should be about three or four up at half time, you know.
Overlook Bournemouth either, because they're doing amazing football this season, and you can't, even if you've got a 2-0 lead against them in the last minute, you can't be confident anymore.
Exactly. I mean, I think if we've got a 2-goal lead at the end of the game, I'm pretty confident we'll win. You know, I think it's just we don't concede many chances. It's just that when we do concede, the teams are always clinical against us for some reason. I mean, Crystal Palace had 3 shots on target. 3. Like, normally you don't, like, yeah, it's just frustrating. I'm not going to lie. Okay, some bad news. More injury news. Omari Kellyman, who we signed from Aston Villa in the summer, has just put on Instagram that he's suffered another long-term hamstring injury. So he's going to be out for a while. Not that he was with the first team, but that's another. So it's not a good day, really. you've got Augusto with an injury. You've got Kelly with an injury. And then Chelsea didn't win, obviously, which is what we don't like. Enzo Maresca, I can confirm we plan to extend Nicholas Jackson on a contract till 2033 soon. I'm really pleased about that. I like Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah,
I think his finishing will improve over time, but we need someone else. Like, I think we all agree on that. At least to compete with him, but probably just someone who's proven, who's going to take those chances. So you know when they're in that position, they're going to score. Right, and we don't have that right now. And it's frustrating. So if we did, I think we win today, honestly. But you know, that's how it goes, isn't it? We're getting tired of this. They've got to deal with it in January, as far as, like, they should have dealt with it already. It's disgraceful that they haven't.
Cool. Can I get your opinion on the Kellyman thing? Because you said about his injury, and that's unfortunate, but do you think he would have really been that involved this season as it is with the squad?
No, I think he was going to be with the under-21s, actually. Okay. But he's not played any. He's not played a minute for the first team, has he?
No, I haven't seen him play football at all, I'll be honest.
Yeah, nor have I.
Nor have I, actually. Like, I watched a few clips of him for Aston Villa, but not for Chelsea. But it's sort of, you know, you never like a player getting injured, and that's really sad. So wish him well. Hopefully Gusto gets back soon as well, and we get Lavia and Reece James and all back. We need them. So because we need to start putting a winning run together after the international break. We don't start playing European games till the end of September, I don't think. Or was it October even? I can't even. But it's late September at least till we start playing in Europe again. So yeah, but we've got Bournemouth next, then Barrow. I hope we can get a couple of wins there. So really, like, okay, let's just sum up with today's game, Brambles.
Yeah, game of two halves, and this has just illustrated why we need that clinical striker. Because we play such great football, but 1-0 is always a dangerous scoreline, because you're always allowing the opponent back into the game, where we should have just killed it off. And they've got to address it in January. And we can't keep going on window after window saying the same thing. We need a clinical striker. They've now got to strike early and just get someone in ASAP.
Yeah, 100%, I agree. Absolutely. And Red, what are your final thoughts today?
I give all the credit to Glasner there. I think that, yes, we've said multiple times we should have been far clear in the first half, but Second half, it looked like he did a tactical switch. He was able to cover the flanks even when we brought on additional attackers. And yeah, now it's been a little bit of time since full time. I fully believe that both sides deserved a point after the disappointing spells they had.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think that that's probably true. You know, I think Palace dug in second half and they controlled the game a lot more. They had some, you know, they had a good chance and took it, and they kept us out. You know, and that, you know, we had chances to win the game at the end, but overall, yeah, it's probably a fair result and disappointing, but it's better than a defeat, that's for sure. That would have been awful. So. All right, yeah. So Chelsea go into the international break on 4 points from 3 games, and obviously we're through to the knockout stages of the group stages of the Europa Conference League. We've got a game against Bournemouth in a couple of weeks, and then we've got a cup game against Barrow at home. So we'll see you for them. Our final score with us will be back for those games as always. Keep following the Chelsea Echo and keep up with all the content that we produce and. There'll be match reviews and there'll be other content coming out for you to enjoy. So keep your eye on that. Please do follow everyone here as well. Rambles, Redford, myself. Just give us a follow and keep up. And obviously follow the Chelsea Echo as well and keep up with everything that we're doing. So thanks everyone for listening. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Rambles, to Redford, to Vince for contributing. Really appreciate your contributions as always. And take care, everyone. And up the Chelsea.